Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are, as you know, working through the works of the flesh listed by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, just prior to his listing the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. He says in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Corrupted sex, corrupted worship, and corrupted relationships. And it is that third category that we are working our way through now. These nine manifestations of sinfulness that damage our relationships with other people. Many of these are inward, though some of them have outward manifestations. But many of these things are inward attitudes of the heart that in themselves may not be observable, but God sees them and God identifies them as sin. And this is where we need to be spending more time examining our heart and endeavoring to line up the thoughts and attitudes of our heart with the Word of God, and to root out the works of the flesh and to replace them with the fruit of the Spirit, something that, of course, we cannot do on our own. The fruit of the Spirit can only be manufactured by the Holy Spirit of God. Only those who are regenerated children of God and have the indwelling Holy Spirit can develop the fruit of the Spirit in their life, and only they have spiritual power to put off the works of the flesh. But even God's children are still plagued by these works of the flesh, which are the lingering remnants of our Adamic fallenness. And they are there to plague us until we are with the Lord. We are not entirely sanctified until we leave this world behind. And so as long as we are on planet Earth, we have got to guard against hatred, contentions, jealousies, and the other things on this list. We talked about jealousy on the broadcast yesterday, that self-centered zeal which resents the good which another enjoys. Jealousy. Sometimes we think in terms of jealousy and envy as the same as covetousness, our wanting what another person has. But actually, it's a little bit different. Covetousness is wanting for ourselves what belongs to another, whether it is a possession or an honor, a talent, whatever it may be, anything that another person possesses that we wish we had and we don't have, God has not given it to us, that's covetousness. And that's also a sin of the heart. But jealousy has a meaner streak to it. Jealousy simply resents what somebody else has, not necessarily wanting it for ourselves. That may be part of it, and that when that happens, we've got both jealousy and covetousness. But just plain old jealousy or envy is resenting the blessing, the benefit, the bestowment that has come to somebody else. And we simply resent it because we are not happy to see them prospering in this way. What a terrible way to be. What a terrible way to live. What a terrible attitude to have in our heart. But truth be told, that lurks and lingers around the edges of the hearts of all of us as fallen sons and daughters of Adam. And that's why it needs to be identified, as Paul identifies it here. It needs to be recognized for what it is, and we need to be conscious of its presence and its danger, and continually casting ourselves upon the Lord to root it out and to replace it with true, godly love. Love rejoices in the blessing that comes to another. Jealousy resents the blessing that comes to another. And jealousy gives us an inability to relate properly to that other person. If we are jealous of them, then we certainly are not loving them as we ought to do. The fourth area in this category of corrupted relationships is translated outbursts of wrath, fits of anger, exploding temper, tirades. This one, of course, is not so much inward as it is outward. Because of hatred and jealousy, wrath, anger rises to the surface where it explodes in ungodly words and actions that are later regretted in many cases, but because our anger was not controlled, suppressed, and dealt with, and rather was allowed to express itself, then we have all kinds of wreck and ruin to deal with. And we're talking about the things that damage our relationships. How many times I have seen people who have worked for weeks and months and maybe even years to restore a relationship that had been badly damaged because of a bad temper, and finally got things on the right track and moving in the right direction and looked like there was great promise, and guess what? They lost their temper again and destroyed everything. An exploding temper takes such a toll on people around it that eventually it gets to the place where the relationships that are damaged by it are beyond repair. Or nearly so. I guess we would all agree that with God all things are possible. But I'm telling you, dear friend, you take a relationship, say a marriage relationship, it could be something else, but let's take a marriage relationship, and your exploding temper has wounded and cut and damaged that relationship over and over and over again over the weeks and months and years, and finally, there is a parting of the ways, and your wife, usually it's the husband who explodes like this to his wife, though it could be the other way around, but your wife finally leaves you, maybe moves back in with her parents or who knows what, goes someplace else, and you realize what you have lost, and you work to get it back, and you are kind and attentive and considerate, and your wife is suspicious and frightened and very reluctant to enter back into this relationship where she has been so badly wounded before. Oh, she would like to see her marriage restored, but after having put up with years of this and being driven out of the relationship that she tried desperately to hang on to for years, she has given up all hope. Now you work to restore that relationship, and then bingo, there goes your temper again, and you probably will never have another chance. Dear friends, we've got to learn to control our temper. We can't say, well, I'm Irish, or I'm German, or whatever it is. I'm Italian. That just goes with the territory. My grandfather had a temper. My father had a temper. My mother had a temper. I've got a temper. That's just the way it is. You've got to understand that. I don't mean anything by it. That's just the way I am. You'll have to accept me for what I am. No, 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 no. You're putting the responsibility on those around you. The responsibility rests on your shoulders. Of course, you inherited it from your parents and grandparents. We all inherited our sinful nature from our forefathers. Every sin was passed down to us because we are sons and daughters of Adam. Yes, certain traits might be more obvious in some people than others, but we all have all of these propensities, and we cannot blame them on our forefathers. We have got to deal with them in our own life. And we've got to realize that this is a sinful heart manifesting itself. It shows us and others what is truly in our heart. And we need a changed heart. And only God can change the heart. When you see the rack and ruin that your temper has caused around you, then maybe you'll realize that this is a serious matter, not to be shrugged off. You'll just have to accept me. That's the way I am. No, you'll just have to change and stop being the way you are. We know the way you are, but you're going to have to become somebody different. And you can only do that by the power and grace of God. So if you don't know the Lord, you need to fly to Him immediately. But even as a Christian, you're going to have to be more intentional in suppressing, with God's help, that violent temper, that bad temper that explodes on far too many occasions. You're going to have to bring it under control. It can be brought under control. It must be brought under control. God will help you to do so, but you've got to take responsibility. You've got to acknowledge that this is wrong, that it is your fault, it is your responsibility, it is your sin, it is your failure, and that you must work on suppressing it and changing your attitudes in a godly direction. Outburst of wrath. The next one is selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions. What does that mean? Well, rivalries, intrigues, self-seeking. It originally spoke in the original Greek language of a hireling working only for pay. We would think maybe of a mercenary soldier today who fights not out of love for country, not out of patriotism, but for money. Selfish ambition. Well, that's the idea, but it has broadened its meaning to include party strife and selfishness, rivalries that depend upon climbing on top of other people in order to get ahead. Selfish ambition. Ambition to have the highest position. Ambition to have the biggest whatever. Ambitions to have, you know, the biggest house, the biggest car, the biggest whatever. Selfish ambitions that are willing to walk all over other people in order to achieve one's ambitions, that is a sinful manifestation of the Adamic nature. This is an area that corrupts relationships. You can't have good relationships with people around you if your heart is full of selfish ambition and you're using people. That won't work. Recognize this for the sin that it is and ask God to take it far away from you. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.